Well, this week has been an amazing, exciting time in the church with the election of our new Holy Father, Pope Francis. Just a week ago, I was here and I had preached on everything that was going to happen this week, and I told everybody to hopefully be able to watch some of this on TV and just take it all in. Who knows how many times in our lifetime we will get to witness this beautiful working of the Holy Spirit as we transition from one Holy Father to the next. People were asking me before the Pope was elected, you know, well, who do you think is going to be Pope? And everybody kind of had their little pools of who it would be, and papers were running articles about, well, here's all the possible people that it could be, and here are the front runners, and this is why. And I guess I too was kind of taken in by that a little bit. I read all the things, and so you don't want to put too much stock in it, but you know, you get to hear the same names over and over. And deep down, I was kind of praying. When people asked me, I said, I would kind of like the Holy Spirit to do something unexpected. And I wanted that just because it is truly the Holy Spirit that is at work at this. In cooperation with the cardinals who are the electors, God really does help us to choose who will be the next Holy Father. And I don't know, I kind of thought maybe if the Holy Spirit did something crazy and unexpected, like, you know, maybe they made someone Pope who wasn't even a cardinal. I know that was, you know, a pretty long stretch. That hasn't happened since the 1300s. So then I thought, well, you know, maybe if like Cardinal Dolan became Pope or something and we had an American Pope, that would be unexpected. But that was about as unexpected maybe as I was looking for. And, you know, I did a good job of preparing all the students. We had Mass the morning on Wednesday. And I explained to them exactly the way the conclave worked, and particularly how the announcement would be made of the new pope. Everybody knows that, you know, we're going to see the white smoke and the bells will ring. And then about 40 minutes later, the cardinal protodeacon would come out onto the loggia of St. Peter's and announce his name. And now I told the kids, and I was actually over there with them to help explain how this would work so that you could hear the name of the new pope, you know, and know who it is. Well, everything came just as was expected. I had told them, you know, listen for the bells in the church, because as soon as there's a new pope, I will ring the bells and everybody will know there's a pope. And sure enough, there I was, sitting watching this little chimney live. It's amazing to think how many hours I spent this week watching a chimney, but I did. And sure enough, there goes the smoke, and I'm like, no, no, it's black again. No, wait, it's kind of grayish. No, that's white. That's got to be white. And the people in the crowd are going crazy, and pretty soon the bells of St. Peter's start ringing, and I am running around screaming like a little girl, Habemus Papam, it's white, we've got a pope. And I'm running around the office, and I'm like, the bells, I've got to go ring the bells. And I come over to the church, and I'm ringing the bells, and everything is just so exciting that we have a new pope. And I run over to the school, and I'm running through all the classrooms. I told them that they were allowed to yell Habemus Papam when we had a pope. And so we get watching on all the TVs, and I'm ready to explain who the new pope is. And you know, the cardinal protodeacon comes out, and I'm like, here's the big announcement. And I had memorized the first names in Latin of all the cardinals that I thought would maybe be popes, so I'd know who they were. Because they announced his first name, and then his title, Sancte Romani Ecclesiae Cardinalum, and then his last name. So I had all the first names in Latin ready to go of the people I thought would be pope. And in fact, on five ballots, I was almost certain, well, it's got to be Cardinal Scola, because they came to it so quickly. I mean, he was the only one that had any kind of front-runner status, so it must be Cardinal Scola. So I thought it would be, you know, Angelum Cardinal Scola. And I'll never forget it, because I think me and the news media and everybody, when they announced the Pope's name, and it was like, Georgius Marius, I'm like, Georgius Marius? I have not a clue. And you could tell, because the news people were just dead air. They're like, flip, you could tell behind the scenes. I mean, they're showing St. Peter's, but behind the scenes they're going, anybody? Anybody got it? It was a lot like, I think, what is described when Pope John Paul II was elected. They're like, who? And I finally had to pull up my iPhone and, you know, go through it. One of the other priests said he had his list of first names too, and he had deleted all the people he thought it wouldn't be. So he didn't have it on his list. And finally I found it. I'm like, I have no idea who this Bergoglio guy is. I've never even heard of him. But then sure enough, he comes out on the loggia of St. Peter's, and there he is. And I don't know if you got to see it, but my first reaction to the new pope was, is he okay? I mean, he's just standing there. And I was like yelling at the TV, like, Holy Father, do something. You know, like, do one of these. John Paul II and Benedict did this, and it really seemed to work. And, you know, there's a picture on the internet of, you know, the moment that they're announced as Pope, and it's got John Paul doing this, and Pope Benedict is doing this, and then there's a little picture of Pope Francis. Hi. And it just says, hi. You know, and I'm like, okay, that's a start. And but he's just standing there, and I'm like, is he okay? I mean, he looks like he's been hit by a bus. And finally, of course, the Holy Father starts to speak. And that's when I think all of us were just so endeared to him and his beautiful, humble presence there. When he started to talk, you could tell that he's a very joyful, humble man. And a moment that I will never forget, I told the students that we have to all watch this because you will never forget where you were when the Pope is first out there. And when he got to the moment, I hope you got to see this, but, you know, I had friends that were in the square at St. Peter's, you know, that were messaging me, and they described that moment when the Pope says, now, before I bless you, I'd like you all to stop and pray that God would bless me, and let's take a moment of silence. And then he bows down, and it just got hundreds of thousands of people in the square immediately silent. And all of us watching on TV, we all prayed. Everyone throughout the world watching at that moment stopped and prayed. And I admit, I almost started to cry. It was so beautiful to see our new Pope there humbly bowing down, knowing the great weight of what it was the cardinals had given to him, how much he needed the prayer of the people. And from that moment on, Pope Francis has been a Pope of firsts already. He is, of course, the first Pope Francis. And they did clarify that he's just Pope Francis. It's not Pope Francis the First, because there's no Pope Francis the Second yet. So it's just Pope Francis. And he revealed this morning, actually, to the cardinals in Rome that it was really St. Francis of Assisi that had inspired him. He said that the cardinal sitting next to him, as the votes started to swing towards him, or as our Holy Father put it, when things started to get dangerous, meaning that he could see the votes going towards him, the cardinal next to him just kind of leaned over and grabbed him, and he said, remember the poor. And of course, everything we read about Pope Francis when he was Cardinal Bergoglio is that that is the one thing that he is very much mindful of. I think we'll have a beautiful example of holiness in our new Holy Father. Perhaps that's the one thing I was praying most for. It doesn't matter who is Pope. Just give us a holy man, a man of prayer, one who can truly be the spiritual leader of not just Catholics, but really non-Catholics too. I couldn't help but notice how many people who weren't even Catholic were following the events of this week. And even in a sort of interesting way, I also noticed how all the secular media seemed to be saying, you know, one thing is certain, this new pope takes over a church that is just in scandal and crisis and has become irrelevant. I thought, irrelevant? I mean, that's why you've been covering a chimney for the last 3 days in Rome? I mean, the whole world was fixed on that little chimney at the Sistine Chapel. We can hardly say that the Catholic Church is irrelevant. In fact, it's probably the single most relevant thing in the world right now. And we have a beautiful new head of the body of Christ in this world, Pope Francis. Of course, many of you saw the stories. He immediately the next day went and prayed at one of the famous icons in Rome of our Blessed Mother, Mary Salus Populi Romani. It's the icon of our Blessed Mother in Rome where all the people go in times of desperation and in need for help. And I think Pope Francis showed us all a beautiful example there. If we want to become holy, if we want to become more like Jesus, we need to go to Mary first. She is the surest and easiest way to become more like Jesus. And on the way back, just as a measure of goodwill, He took his car, which he refused to take the papal limousine, and in the old car he was in, they drove by his hotel where he had been staying, and he went up, got his suitcases, and came down, and they've got a picture of him there trying to pay the bill at his hotel. And one of the little captions on the internet says, "Oh yeah, I forgot. I checked in under a different name." That's so cute. And then today he was running off all over the place. One of the cardinals had a heart attack, and so he just went to the hospital to visit him. And I think we're in for some interesting times with our new Holy Father. But it's amazing how in just these short couple days, all of us, I think, have really grown to love him. And it hardly seems right in the middle of Lent this past week to have so much joy and excitement in the church. It feels like Easter already got here a little bit this week. But most importantly, I think what we need to take away from this week, and it is an exciting time to be Catholic, is to have great thanksgiving in our hearts to God. God, Jesus, our good shepherd, he promised that he would not leave his flock untended, that the gates of hell would not prevail against his church. Yes, we've been hit with a lot in these last decades. Scandals through sexual abuse crisis, scandals in these last few years in the Vatican and the banking systems and the Curia and the Vati leaks and everything. And into the midst of that, God sends us a new Francis, named after the Francis of Assisi, to which famously one day when Francis was praying, he heard the voice of Jesus saying, "Francis, rebuild my church, which you can see is in ruins." Now, I don't know if you could say that the church right now is maybe in ruins, but we've got a lot of work that needs doing. And God has sent us, not St. Francis, but Pope Francis. And we pray that God would bless him abundantly in his great mission that he has been given. He is our rock. He is a very humble rock, though. And God will use him in a way, we pray, that will mightily indeed help to rebuild the church. Que viva el Papa, ad multos annos. God bless Pope Francis.